This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Oh my word. Lots going on.
Where do we start?
Well, I don't know.
Where do we start? Apparently, Trump is on his way to make his victory speech. And in spite of one or two interesting things happening in Israel over the last day or two, and being in the middle of a war and being on day 397 of Operation Swords of Iron and 397 days of hostages in Gaza, the headlines in all of the Israeli papers this morning are about the US elections, which I find a little ironic because I am still kind of not that convinced that the results of the U.S. elections are so pivotal to what happens in Israel next. I mean, clearly, the Democrats and the Republicans have a slightly different view about what should be done in the Middle East and how Israel might or might not be supported. But I think that having had a Democrat government over the last year of our war, and we know that Biden has been somewhat reluctant in some respects to be wholeheartedly supportive of Israel and has even created some difficulties along the line. But I think what the last year has proven to Israel is that even with a Democrat president like Biden, who many feel was not that supportive of Israel, the common interests that exist between Israel and the US when the chips are down and real business needs to be done, the common interests are so aligned that even a president who might not feel comfortable wholeheartedly supporting Israel has little choice but to offer Israel support, because that's really what's in the best interests of the US.
In other words, it really, really wouldn't have made a massive difference.
Well, I think that whether we like Kamala Harris or not, and whether we agree with her policies or not, I think that it's one thing for her to be making statements and perhaps even some silly statements, unjustifiable statements about the war and about Hamas and about the hostages. We've seen her make statements which really could never be supported under any context. But I think once you're sitting in the Oval Office and once you have the US military explaining one or two things to you about what needs to be done in order to protect the interests of the United States, I don't think that a president of the U.S. has much choice. That's my own view.
Very interesting. You are most likely completely right about that. I'd love your thoughts. 0618951019. All right, we have to talk about last night, Anthony. The Prime Minister, he fired Defense Minister Yoav Gallant. How's this being accepted?
I think there was a little bit of shock initially. I think there was a kind of a deep intake of breath across the country. And then people came out onto the streets almost in spontaneous reaction to this firing of Gallant. Let's not forget that Gallant has been fired before, and people came out onto the streets on that occasion and managed somehow to convince the Prime Minister to retract his firing of Gallant. That was the previous time around. And therefore, I think many felt that they might be able to achieve something similar this time around. So I will try to maintain some level of independence and fairness across all sides on this particular action, even though listeners will understand that I find this to be an astonishing act in at a time which seems to me to be crazy. Let's just talk about the timing for a moment, because we're kind of sandwiched in the middle of three key events when we look at this firing action. The event number one is the military issuing orders, call up papers, the process of starting the process of beginning, calling up members of the Haredi community to the army. That was begun last week. Quite a few thousand orders of call up were issued, which means not that people have been called into the army, but that initial process has begun to evaluate what people are able to do and to try to allocate jobs which might be appropriate. There's a significant process involved before any individual gets called into the military, and that's really what was initiated last week and which caused a great deal of consternation amongst the Haredi community. So that was thing number one. Thing number two was the revelation that a member of the Prime Minister's office who does not have necessary security clearance was serially taking documents from the military sources and using those documents in the Prime Minister's office to distribute publicly in order to try to support some sort of a political view. That's thing number two. And thing number three, which is yet to happen, is of course the attack that we're expecting from Iran. Yeah. That's where the firing of this defense minister is sandwiched. And of course, let's not forget that we're at war with soldiers in Gaza, with soldiers in Lebanon, with soldiers potentially in other foreign countries that we're not aware of on the ground in Israel, operating against the enemies. We're in a very significant moment in our security history in terms of fighting a war of existence against enemies who seek to destroy us. And yet the Prime Minister seemingly has decided to make a political statement rather than a security/military statement. Now, Yoav Gallant was eminently qualified to be the Minister of Defense, whether you like his policies and the way he operates or not. He is a defense man through and through. He's a former Chief of General Staff of the IDF. So he has every qualification required to guide Israel through what is a very, very stormy sea right now in terms of the war that we're fighting, in terms of the hostages, in terms of the potential escalation of hostilities against Iran. If we wanted to have somebody at the steering wheel driving this particular vehicle into a war, then you'd want somebody who has military credentials, and Yoav Gallant is certainly that guy, or at least one of those guys. There might be one or two of them, but Yoav Gallant is certainly one of them. Whereas Yisrael Katz, who has been appointed to pick up responsibilities as defense minister starting on Thursday night, because the firing yesterday takes effect after 48 hours. So Yisrael Katz is the former minister of foreign affairs, and he's due to pick up the Ministry of Defense role. He doesn't have the same military credentials. He is more of a political appointment, and he is seen as somebody who supports the Prime Minister's point of view. And so I think what we're finding is that the Prime Minister and the Prime Minister's office in general has been in conflict with many members of the military establishment, starting from the Minister of Defense and down. So I think the Minister of Defense, Gallant, represented the views to a large part of the Chief of General Staff, of the IDF, of the Shin Bet, of the Shabak, of the Mossad. I think all of the chiefs of the various security agencies and Yoav Gallant were relatively well aligned in their views about where things should go and how this war should be conducted and how we should go about the military and security challenges that we face. I think they were well aligned. The disagreement came between essentially the defense establishment, the security establishment, and the Prime Minister. So when the Prime Minister was fighting that battle, he was pretty much fighting it directly with his Minister of Defense, because the Minister of Defense really represented in a relatively uniform way the views that were being expressed by the security officials. Now what the prime minister has done is he's created a cushion between himself and the military establishment and the security establishment by putting in a Yisrael Katz, who does represent the prime minister's views. So the prime minister effectively has distanced himself to some degree from the disagreement, from the issues, from the fact that there is that tension. And he's essentially tasked Yisrael Katz with fighting that battle against the heads of the security agencies. There were rumors last night that the prime minister may be intending to fire the chief of general staff. He may be intending to fire the head of the Mossad, the head of the Shabak, other security agencies, because he doesn't really agree with any of them either. But he came out to say there is no intention to do that. And we kind of all breathed a collective sigh of relief, because what we've felt over the last year as we've navigated our way through these very, very stormy waters is that even though we were very much let down on October the 7th by our security establishment, we have somehow recovered from that. And we've managed to feel a sense of unity in uniting behind what has been an amazing military achievement, what has been some incredible operations, uniting behind the spirit, the amazing spirit that has been shown by our soldiers, by our security establishment, by the Mossad. We feel pride and we feel a level of unity in uniting, in supporting our soldiers and our security teams as they go out and undertake this sacred job of protecting our country. And if we were to see the heads of those departments, those establishments fired for whatever reason, replaced with people who are more sort of Netanyahu leaning in their views, then that may well have damaged to some degree the sense of pride and the sense of support that we feel for those establishments. Mm-hmm. But I think the moment of the night, undoubtedly last night, was Yoav Gallant standing up and making his views known. Mm. And the way that he presented it was just, I mean, I was mesmerized by the way that he spoke and by what he said, and very much felt emotional when at the end of his statement, and I'll go through what he said, he saluted, physically stood at the podium, saluting our soldiers and our security teams and our hostages and all of those who are caught up in this war effort. He stood silently with that salute, and it was very, very meaningful that very moment. One could really feel.
To me, that was the moment I saw could see him as prime minister.
Yeah, I mean, there is a discussion about that, and you know, we can go through that. But I think with the time that we've got left, it's probably worth just going through the 3 points that he made, because there were three very important points. And I sense that those are the 3 points of disagreement that he has with the prime minister.
Yes.
So his first point was that he believes in calling up all members of Israeli society who are liable to serve in the military. That was his statement. And he very much doubled down on the call-up papers that had been issued to the ultra-Orthodox community by saying that, you know, indicating that not only is this a court order which he is implementing, but he's implementing it with full belief that it's the right thing to do. And he said, with the number of our soldiers who have been killed and who have been injured, and with the obligations that we have going forward to protect our country, and the number of reserve soldiers who are being called up out of their jobs and away from their families in order to protect our country, we need all the manpower that we can get. And that means calling up everybody who is liable for military service. And without saying it, of course, he was referring to the ultra-Orthodox community. So that was his first point. His second point related to the hostages. And this for me was incredible to listen to, because clearly he knows a few things that you and I don't know. And he said there is a deal to be done to release hostages and to allow them to come home alive. And he believes that that deal needs to be done. And he indicated that that was a point of disagreement between him and the prime minister. And I don't really understand exactly where that disagreement comes to, but we do know that the hostage families feel that the prime minister has been an impediment to creating, to agreeing, to making the painful concessions. That was the word that Gallant used. There are some very painful concessions that we would need to make in order to secure that their release. And then he went on to say, and which we are able and willing to make. Now, who is willing is a good question, because we know that there are elements of government who are not willing. The third point that he made was around a National Commission of Inquiry. He said we need to learn lessons from what has happened, and we need a commission of inquiry to be set up to examine everything that's gone on. And that was his view, and it seems that those are the three main points of disagreement that he has with the Prime Minister. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. There's a lot more that can be said and should be said. But really, that's just like on the edge of things, just a summary of where we stand on this issue.
Just before I let you go, there were a lot of protests last night. Is this, you know, last time he reversed the decision, can we expect something like that again?
Well, it's hard to say. Certainly, people were very angry, and it was very spontaneous last night. We will see how things pan out today, what sort of political pressure comes. But clearly what we've seen is the Prime Minister making a political statement rather than a security / military statement. Does that weaken or strengthen him? Remains to be seen.
Anthony Rock, thank you as always. We can catch Anthony tomorrow morning for the Israel Report at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.